things. So some good news on good news, is that, and the good news is that, you know, I have a good relationship with my dad, and that I and my stepdad and my second mom's husband, and I have a good relationship with my son, and I'm very intentional. It's a lot of work, right? But it's good work, right? I'm great. Right. So we added some new, clients on Friday that meet our target minimum. So that's great news. And they're going to introduce me to two of their friends that they both said have way more money than they do, which is always nice things to hear. And one of them was actually said, you know, some other friends of ours ask us about you, but we didn't really know that much about you, you know, in terms of how your business model worked. And they told me, and they said they knew about you through the estate planning attorney that you work with. I guess they mentioned you, and he said, oh yeah, we work with Preston. He does good work and so forth. So make an introduction for them. And then also, when we followed up about that, they'd actually shared that with me when they originally agreed to come on board, or where they were the third meeting. And then, I mentioned to you that we're doing those dinner parties. So on Friday, she brought up, hey, I was going to talk to my friends about the, you know, sending the email you suggested where I open copy you and I open copy them before I did that. And I said, well, you know, we're having a little dinner party coming up next month. Why don't you and your husband come to our dinner party, and why don't you invite your friends? And she said, oh, that's a good idea.
It's really good marketing. Very
smart. Yeah, I said that way, you know, they can get to know me in a casual setting, see if their relationship fit. And if there is, then they can follow up with me and we'll visit with them. And if there's not, well, you know, they had a great evening and, you know, no harm, no foul. So she said, yeah, it's a good idea.
Really smart.
I actually had, thank you for the follow-up text. I had actually listened, and by the way, as some feedback, I've listened to the team's book twice. Once in the last month and pre for that, on Audible. Whoever recorded that book, you should fire them and get it re-recorded with the person that recorded the other books, because it's like Chinese water torture.
Really?
It's really bad, in my opinion.
Well, I didn't do that.
Yeah. But the person that recorded the other two books for you, very easy to listen to, you know, the team's book, it's just like, you know how some, you've listened to Audible books before, right? You know, and sometimes it's just like, oh, this person, it's like there's good information, but it's grueling to listen to. So that's, I would only give you that.
That's really important. Thank you.
I had listened to that chapter twice. I went back and re-listened to it four more times. Thanks for pointing out the chapter to me. I had taken some notes. A lot of times I use that in Automobile University when I'm driving in my car, you know, play button. So I can't always take notes sometimes. But I did take separate time to take some notes. I was just wanting some other ideas of, because of your military experience, that maybe you had some specific military questions. But we had and I did just forward you right before our meeting, which you may not have time to look at. I did forward you his resume. It's in your inbox. If you want to pull it up, you can, of a candidate we just interviewed. I thought that the Zoom call went really well. He's an E-9. He's had a really outstanding career.
Oh yeah, he's an E-9. Is he Navy or Army?
Army. He's here, and he's here at Fort Bliss. Here at Fort Bliss. And he's a native Texan. He grew up in Laredo. His son lives in San Antonio. He's not married. He didn't say he was divorced. So I actually kind of like that answer when people say they're single instead of divorced. I suspect his son is 17, and he actually told me the reason he's getting out of the military. He's been in the military for 23 years, had a very successful career in the Army. He's been all over. He started out as an E-1, you know, right out. And he actually has a 4-year degree. He got a associate's degree in 2015. He finished his undergrad in 2021. He's actually working on his master's degree. He's a non-commissioned officer. He's at Fort Hood. And he actually showed me that he has a promotion I forget what the technical term is, but basically it's an assignment in Europe, right? Where he would get an elevation in responsibility and stuff, but it's a 3-year tour in Europe. And he said, look, my son is 17. He's going to be a senior in high school next year. And I want to go to all of it. He goes, quite frankly, you know, I haven't been there for a lot of his stuff growing up, and he lives in San Antonio. He, I want to be at all of his football. He's made the, varsity team. I want to be his football games. I want to be his track games. And he wants to either go to the University of Texas or Texas A&M when he graduates. And I want to be there for him. And he said, I'm a native Texan. I grew up here in Texas and I want to stay in the Texas Hill Country. And he said, if it wasn't for that, I would probably stay in the Army, but I don't want to live in Europe for the next 3 years because I'll miss out on this part. So I think that says a lot about his character.
What did you refer to him as?
What do you mean? When I talked to him?
Is he a sergeant or you said a non-commissioned officer?
Yeah. If you pull up, he's a sergeant major. SGM, is that right? He's a sergeant major.
Sergeant major. So that's not an officer. So be careful with that.
Right. He's a non-commissioned officer.
No, he's not.
Okay.
Big difference.
Okay. Well, I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure, I think that he is a non-commissioned officer and the...
No, sergeant major is an enlisted man.
Okay. I mean, he's an E9.
Right. Okay. You can't be an officer and an enlisted man. You're one or the other.
Okay. I thought you could be something called a non-commissioned officer.
Yeah, you can, but that's a different rank.
Okay. All right. Well, I can be mistaken.
You know what? That's called a warrant officer.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those things are important to people in the service.
Okay.
I mean, like, way important. And if you want to make them happy, you refer to them by their rank.
Okay. So anyway,
you'd call him Sergeant Major.
Okay.
And then he'll say, oh, just call me Tom. And then you can call him Tom. But in the beginning, you call him Sergeant Major because he worked his ass off to get that.
Yeah, he did.
And they do not want you to ever think they're officers.
Right. No, I get that. I just called him by his name. His name is Randy.
Right. But if you want to flatter him, call him Sergeant Major.
Okay.
All right. I was Navy, right? I was Lieutenant Commander. And when I called USAA.
They say Lieutenant Commander. Yeah.
They call me, no, Commander.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And even today, I appreciate that.
Yeah. So I thought I took about an hour on the Zoom call. He, asked a lot of the questions you mentioned. He was a wrestler in high school. And then he also played soccer. He's a big soccer and football fan. He likes athletics. I thought it went really well. And he actually asked for the order at the end of the meeting. He said, look, I've really enjoyed getting to know you and I would love to come meet you and your wife in person. If you feel the same way about me. And I said, yeah, I think that's a great idea. Why don't you join us for church on Sunday and we'll go to lunch afterwards. And he said, wonderful. And I said, and he had mentioned that he had a girlfriend. And I said, why don't you bring your girlfriend with you?
Brilliant.
I'd her to come with us. So unfortunately, I got a text message at 4:47 a.m. on Sunday that said, please forgive me. This is not a reflection of me not being interested, but four soldiers were in an accident early this morning. And his commanding officer, right, wants a brief at 9:30, and I've got to prepare the brief and meet him at 9:30. So unfortunately, I can't make it this morning, but I'd be happy to come worship with you if there's a weekday worship service, or I'm happy to meet you next Sunday if that works for you. So the fact that he actually thought through that text message at 4:47, which means he had been up way before 4:47. It wasn't just like, hey, he didn't wait till 10:30.
I'm telling you. So how did you get referred to him?
So I hired a recruiting firm called Lucas Group, and they have a special division that only recruits military people coming out of the military. And that guy is also a Christian, and he lives in Dallas, so he's a good Texas guy, and he and I have a lot of similarities. And he said, when I told him what we're looking for, he goes, I worked for a Fulbright colonel when I was in the Air Force, and I did exactly for him what you're looking for someone to review. I know exactly what you're looking for. And I'm going to work on that candidate. It's taking him a couple of weeks to find that person. But I did all the other things, to find someone to locate. And that's so
what is that going to cost you to hire him?
About 10 grand.
Well worth it.
Yeah, that's what I feel. And by the way, I only pay him if I hire someone. So it's a contingency.
I think you got a winner.
Yeah.
Now, if he doesn't have a drug problem or alcohol, then you're set. Okay.
All right. I really have one concern, and that was his girlfriend lives in Georgetown. You know, he's moving to Marble Falls. That's about an hour to hour and a half away. And when we were talking in the interview, he said, well, you know, the plan is to possibly, you know, to get engaged and those kind of things. So that was one of the reasons I wanted to invite her, is to see what she was like and those kind of things.
No, that's, look, this is going to be the guy.
Okay.
This is brilliant. I love this. You know, you follow through. I got to be really careful.
That's what I'm paying you for.
I got to be very careful what I tell you, because you do what I tell you, which is scary.
But by the way, and I think it was a brilliant idea that you had. And so did my wife. And I said to her the other day, I don't know why I didn't do this 10, 15, 20 years ago to save me a lot of headaches, you know, a lot of problems. And in fact, it was kind of funny because one of the questions, you know, I was looking for the, you know, looking for the positive, but looking for the faults too. And so I said, what would you say are some of your faults or some of your downside? And he said, well, looking back, there were times that I probably worked too much and some of my, team members, you know, felt the need to stay there because I was staying there and I focused too much on work and maybe not had enough good work balance. Right. And I said, well, you know, we all have faults. And one of mine is over the years, as I look back, is sometimes I have a tendency to kind of bark orders. And he goes, well, that won't be a problem with me. I'm used to that.
I said, well, work for enough jerk. Yeah. Lieutenants. But here's the thing about the service. The guys that get things done, are the sergeants and the corporals,
right?
And the sergeant majors run the sergeants, and there'll be some second lieutenant in charge of the sergeant major, okay?
Right.
And he salutes him, and he takes care of him, but if the second lieutenant's smart, he will listen to that sergeant major and do exactly what he tells them. They run the army.
Yeah. He told me about a time where, because I asked that question about what's something maybe that you thought you couldn't accomplish, but you did. And he said, well, I was at Fort Bliss, which I know Fort Bliss in El Paso. And he said, I actually got a special assignment to the 4-star general that was the, you know, post commander. And I was on his team. And I was thinking, like, I'm not qualified to be on 4-star general's team, but he goes, I don't want to talk bad about the other guy, but and I go, he got reassigned. He goes, that's right. They reassigned the other guy. And he goes, so I got on the team and I listened and I did this. And at the end of the thing, the general was very pleased and he worked well with me and liked me. And I worked well with other team members and I actually got a promotion after that for doing a good job.
You might have a new partner someday.
Well, that's kind of, I was keeping that in mind too, because of his age. And I didn't specifically mention this to him. But I was telling Shelly this, that if it works out right, I could foresee him doing, you know, director of client services, then the director of leadership, even getting a CFP. He obviously doesn't mind studying, being our in-house financial planner, and then even being an advisor someday.
Right. And then he hires the next sergeant.
He's got to hire the next person. Mm-hmm.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I think it's brilliant. And I, you know, anyway.
By the way, sometimes you give me ideas that I poo-poo, but then later I think about them. Oh, I'll try that. So, you know, that tablet thing that you'd mentioned someone's using? I did actually order one and tried it because I use NotePens all the time. But it's terrible. It didn't work for me because my handwriting is pretty difficult to read anyway. But it was even harder for me to read. So I did try it. I ended up returning it because they have a return policy, but I ordered it, ordered the special pen or thing. I tried it out. It just wasn't legible. So thanks for the idea. If they improve the tool some more, I may order it again, but
like, good.
And it was a little too complex. They need to make it more simplistic.
If it's going
to be like a notepad, it really needs to be like a notepad. Also the other thing is, you know, I mean, like, see, this is what my handwriting looks like when I journal.
That's really scary.
Yeah. I mean, that is cursive, you know.
Yep. No, I understand.
Some of it's cursive. Yeah, but, you know, that's hard to get that. And there's a certain feel when you write, when I journal, there's a certain feel with him. Okay, so I had a meeting with one of my centers of influence, lunch meeting on Thursday, who's the banker. And I mentioned to him about master, and he's a Christian. And I said, hey, have you ever been a part of a mastermind group? And he said, no. And I said, you know what that is? He said, well, I've heard the concept, but I don't really understand it. So I shared it with him. And he said, you know, I kind of have a group like that now, but it's just bankers. And we meet at like, I think they meet once a month or once a quarter. And he said, it's real informal. And we just kind of, these are bankers that have other similar sized banks. And we're in this forum and we kind of share ideas on maybe, hey, here's a challenge I'm having with this area. Oh, here's why. And so he said, he goes, it's really helpful to me. So I said, well, if we formed one, I was thinking we'd need, you know, a CPA, a good CPA. Do you know a good CPA that's a, I said, I'd want to be like-minded people, someone like us that loves Jesus, loves people, and loves helping people. Do you know a good CPA that's a Christian? He thought about it for a second. He goes, well, I went to this guy, but he just moved to San Angelo, so no. And then I said, he goes, how about you? And I said, well, I have one in mind, but I need to talk to him to see if he'd be interested. And then I said, okay, I think we need a good banker. Oh, I know a good banker. And then I said, I think we need a good advisor. I know one of those. I think that we need a good realtor. You know, and I said, and I just mentioned to him the new people that we just brought on. I said, you know, Dale and Suzanne are coming on this afternoon. They're now mutual clients of ours. And I wanted to visit with you about what do you think about them? And then also another mutual client that we have. He's also really good. He goes, either one of those would be really good. And then as we're talking, this guy walks by and he goes, oh, hey, John. Hey, come here, John. Good to see you. Hey, this is Preston Roseman. He's an advisor here. And, so the guy's talking about real estate and how his inventories used to be 200 listings and then down to 50. And now he's only got 3 listings because there's nothing available and things are bringing nuts prices and stuff. So he walks off and he said, I said, now who is that? And he said, well, it's John Calhoun. And I said, the name sounds familiar, but I can't place what he goes. Yeah. He bought Jim Barry's real estate firm. They kind of specialize in ranch sales. And he goes, he would be another good candidate. He's a good Christian guy. He's a family man. He's got 3 young kids and he's very successful. And I said, okay. So I wrote that down. Maybe that would be a good one. The thing about it is most of his customers are people that are buying for investment, not necessarily, and the ranch sales around here, you know, they're buying like $2 to $20 million ranches. They're not buying like their, you know, $300,000, $500,000, $1 million house. So he's dealing with some top clientele. So I think that's going to be a good invite. And then I said, well, what about a business broker? Do you have a good business broker? He goes, no, I don't. I said, what about a business appraiser? Do you have one of those? No, I don't have one of those. The other one that I might add is a friend of mine is a builder, a custom home builder. He does really well. And they're on track to do about $10 million in revenue this year. And he's in a mastermind group, but I think they meet via Zoom. And it's, you know, guys in all different areas. But when I talked to him the other day about something else, about becoming a client of ours and doing some work for him on a cash balance 401k plan, and then I said, does anybody else come to mind? He said, well, you know, actually, I've got someone that's moving here from California that I think would be a good introduction for you. And he said, I kind of have a system now when people move here. I tell them, look, I'm only going to build a house for you if you do the construction loan through one of the local banks here. I'm not going to deal with Wells Fargo or any of the big national banks. And he goes, if they won't do that, then I don't do business with them. So I tell them they need to have all their professionals here local. This is a small town. It works different, you know? And he said, so it'd be a good introduction. So I might also include him. What do you think about that?
I think that's pretty smart.
Okay. And he works well with this banker too. And he's a good Christian guy. And the banker said we could use his conference room. And he's open to meeting in the mornings, at lunch, or at the end of the day. What are your thoughts? Do you think morning, lunch, or end of the day?
It just sort of depends on people's schedules. You just kind of want to get a sense of, you know, I have some people that do this and take a whole morning to do it once a month. And others do it quarterly. Some people just have breakfast. Other people have dinner. My first suggestion is dinner because it's 2 hours of concentrated time together. But you know, if you're coaching you know, basketball and soccer and everything else, then you can't do that. So then,
well, that's what I think the challenge is going to be. Several of those guys, if you have small kids, anything after, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock is out because you got, that's family time. And I kind of do that too.
Yeah. And so you say, okay, then it's lunch.
Yeah. Lunch is good. The only downside to lunch is like a builder or some of these other people is, you know, like he said, we could use the conference room. Like he said, a Monday, a Tuesday or a Wednesday. He didn't think Thursday or Friday's a good idea. Well, some of the service clubs and things like Rotary meets on Wednesday. So that's out, right? They're in Rotary. And then Monday or Tuesday would be fine for me. I don't know what your thoughts about Monday for people. I would think Monday's a bad day for a lot of business people. They're kind of planning their week.
Right. And Tuesday would be great. And I happen to like breakfast because everybody's got to get to work. And so it doesn't last forever.
Yeah. That or lunch. Yeah.
I used to meet Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock with my estate planning attorney every month. And that worked. We had breakfast and that worked great.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's a good idea. Okay. So I have a follow up. I have two follow up meetings with our candidate. One is, one of the people that asked to be on my hiring team, put that in the email. He's a former, member of the Corps at A&M. He was a banker, and then he was a corporate executive with Delta and also a professor and a family counselor. He has a PhD in counseling. And so he knows a lot about people. So I set up a Zoom call between him and our candidate, Randy, for Wednesday. And then potentially Randy's going to come have lunch with us this Sunday with, in church on Sunday. Do you think I should have a third person interviewing?
You're killing it. That's great.
All right.
Yeah. If you were questioning it, I would say, yeah, but there's so far sun and the moon and the stars are lining up pretty strong. So okay. I think your due diligence is good. The stories he told are all for real. I mean, he's a conscientious, I mean, you know, everything's lining up. Okay. I like him a lot. I'd probably hire him now.
Okay. He can't start until June. That's the only downside, but
that's okay.
Yeah. Any suggestions on how you would recommend which I actually like that too, that he was thinking ahead. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that shows.
I mean, these guys are incredibly valuable.
Right.
I mean, he has been trained and trained and trained and trained. And plus he got himself trained. He got himself educated. And this is a wonderful guy. I love this.
Any suggestions on things I need to do once we hire him and he says, okay, in terms of like staying in touch and communication between, you know, now and then?
Just normal. But yeah, I'd probably set up it's April, May, June. I'd have at least a monthly call with him.
Okay.
Basically set him up on your 12-4-2 schedule.
Okay. Okay. And then, I also sent some other things for us to talk about today. Do you have that handy or do you want me to pull that up?
Okay. Yeah, I've been on the phone since 8 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, no, I sent them all back, but I'll pull it up here. Thought I had it up here, but I think it must have accidentally closed it. Okay, so we got the first one answered. Your thoughts on me? If that one answered, see, I have some challenges we're experiencing.
I implement during board game.
Yeah. So my other two questions, I had two other questions. One was, centers of influence and some challenges we're experiencing. So I would love your thoughts on, you know, I just, you know, I'm having some good success with the banker. He's meeting with me more regularly. And I think that's going to develop into a nice relationship. I'm meeting some with the estate planning attorney like every other month. He'll meet with me like every other month via Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
That's going, we've had a relationship for 15 years. He basically said he's never going to he didn't say it this way. He just said like, because of what he does, he's not going to introduce. And I haven't had a success ever with it. He did give me one introduction one time that was a good introduction. It was like $1 million account. It wasn't his fault that she happened to be a spendthrift, and so it didn't work out long term. He's the one that agreed to do a seminar with me. You think that's a good idea still, to do a joint community seminar?
Yeah, because it lends credibility.
Okay. So we're going to do that in the fall. We're agreed to do that. I did with everything else we had going on, I did move the event to the fall. I'll confess on myself. It wasn't the greatest week when Zan gave me her 2-day notice, because the next day, the young lady who I hired part time to be the marketing person also quit. She was kind enough to send me a little email about midday, letting me know she was going to be showing up today or anytime in the future, because basically her, you know, she had an infant, and whoever her person was that was keeping the infant, has cancer, and so she's not going to be able to, and she got to go back to treatment, and so she doesn't have childcare. And the job wasn't really what she expected. It wasn't near as creative as she wanted it to be. And blah, blah, blah. But thank you for the opportunity and wish you the best. Wouldn't answer my phone. So I told Shelly, I said, you know, it's a great lesson, right? And here's the lesson. One, there were so many signs before I brought, like, even when she showed the first day, I should have just said, like, I don't think it's going to work for us. And it was kind of a blessing that she quit, because if she didn't make some drastic improvements, I was going to have to fire her. And it was another colleague of mine in BNI. It's his wife, and he's the one that recommended her, you know. But like I told Shelly, and I said, it reinforces something. It's why I don't hire part-time employees, because I've had this happen in the past. If you hire a part-time employee, that's what you get. You get a part-time employee, and if anything else in their life changes, they say, bye, sorry, can't do it. And if they're going to work like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, if you need something on Tuesday and Thursday, it's tough crap, you know, sorry. You know, it's just, they're just kind of half in, half out. They're just really not on board. They're really not committed to you. They don't either need the money, or it's not important. It's not their.
Yeah.
And so that's why Zirtual and other firms work so well, because you get a full-time employee part-time. And so that's in the interim when Sam gone. That's what I did, is the other firm that we're working with that specializes, for advisors. We increased Tracy's hours, Karen's hours a bunch. And then we also had already had in the process to bring on someone with Zirtual that's a virtual assistant that you can go up or down on the hours. And so I just had Shelly ramp up his hours. And the other lesson of teaching is he's really sharp. He's in this other young lady was in her 20s, you know, and, you know, first time mom and, you know, new one. And so it just reinforced all those things. Like, she didn't do some of in the first week that she was originally supposed to show up, she sent an email saying, I'm so sorry, my sitter has COVID and da da da, and not a real show. So it's kind of hard to say, you know, I should have just said like, hey, and I kind of knew, like, even Shelly said, yeah, it wasn't going really well. And I was like, I know. And I don't think she had as much experience with, I was surprised that she wasn't more tech savvy considering everything. And so anyway, like you said, I take it as a personal failure but I still don't really feel all that bad about it, because I feel like I was obedient in hiring her. And also the Lord might have used me to help her realize that she really needed to focus on being a mom and a wife and not working, you know. But it was comical to me that these young kids don't even have it. And then she was like in the email, how do you want me to, when would you like for me to bring back your phone and headset and all this kind of stuff? And I'm thinking like, well, it would have been nice if you just showed up and dropped it off and told us, hey, you know, I'm not going to be able to work today, or today's my last day. I have my baby in tow. And so I just told Chill. And then I called. She wouldn't answer my phone call, of course. And so I just told Shelly to send her an email or call her and say, hey, why don't you just have your husband bring it with him to the BNI meeting next week on Tuesday, and he can give it back to Preston. I think it cracks me up what people do, you know, like, really? You know, so we wrote a couple of checks and it was a lesson well learned. Really, the first day that she showed up, she was supposed to give me all of her vacation time before she came to work. And she ends up sending me an email on her work email that first day, like halfway through the day of all her vacation days. And I was like, holy cow, you know, it wasn't like, here's a few. It was like several weeks, you know, and I started to say, I don't think this is going to work, but I just let it kind of play out. And so, but it was also a good lesson in that I don't need a real person to do that. When I say real person, I don't need an in-office person. I can hire Zirchel, and the guy that we have behind me is doing a great job with other things, and he's a real quick study. And I told Shelly, we'll just ramp up him, you know, at that rate, and then not have a fixed cost and have to manage another person.
Right. Smart.
So anyway, it was another good reminder of why not to hire part-time people. And I've done that several times in my career, and it's never worked out for me. It's always ended kind of that way. I guess back to COIs. So some of the challenges I'm having is, one, finding ones that'll, a lot of successful COIs, quite frankly, don't want to meet that often. So what are your thoughts? You know, and quite frankly, depending on what sector they're in, they're kind of like, we don't really want any more business, or we've got all the, you know, I had the thing going pretty good with the CPA, and then now she's not taking any new clients, and she's actually letting some clients go, but not enough. She really should have fired or saved a bunch of clients, but she just closed her bracket. I mean, she just says, no, I'm not taking on any. I said, well, someone's going to pay you $100,000 a year. I had lunch with her. Someone's going to pay you $100,000 a year. You're not going to take on a client? Nope.
What?
All right.
Wow.
So she's kind of doing supernova, but she's
not a good business person.
I guess not. I mean, she's successful, but only because she just gruels things out. She does about $900,000 a year in net income for CPA practice. It's pretty good, but she probably works 70, 80 hours a week. It's just nuts. So anyway, I'm kind of a little bit of bay on that. I'd love to have a good CPA. Several of the CPAs in towns are also licensed, so I don't refer business to them. Don't want a partnership with them.
Right.
So anyway, I'd just be curious on your thoughts or input.
It's a process. It's a process. You're going to get better at it. And it's like hiring that sergeant. You know, you get better and better and better and figure things out. And I mean, everything you've said, I can't pick any, you know, you just, one of the things to do is to say, look, I want to have three CPAs. One I meet with monthly, one I meet with quarterly, and one I meet with twice a year. Okay, so there, one's at bat, one is on deck, and one's in the dugout.
Right.
And if a guy is too busy to meet with you on a regular basis, then you put him in the dugout.
Yeah.
Right? Meet with him twice a year. And then work your way up to one that is a good guy that you like and that you'd enjoy seeing once a month and that would refer business to you regularly.
And who else do you think I should do that for? So estate planning, the estate planners are really hard. The other estate planning attorney that I had a relationship with here in town, he basically is a part-time estate planning attorney, so I don't refer any business to him now.
I would do the same thing with all six. When I have six centers of influence, and I would have backups for all of them. And I'd always be developing my primary until I got the six that I really liked. And then I'd still keep the guys on deck and in the dugout.
Okay. So I have another question for you that's not here. So it's kind of interesting because the clients that just came on board, right? I was a little nervous because they had investment accounts with the guy who's the Merrill broker here, who was a real friend to me when I went through that difficult time with Jones, and he went through a similar situation. And so I never try and solicit accounts or take accounts and vice versa. And we almost never run across each other. So I was a little nervous about that. And, you know, if they were wanting to transfer those, I was going to want to talk to him first and, you know, that kind of stuff. But anyway, I said, you know, it's up to you. I think he's doing a good job at that part. You know, we can do all this other and add new money here and do that. And they said, yeah, I think because of our relationship with him with the school and stuff, I think we'd want to leave that with him. Because I said, are you actually meeting with Rick or are you meeting with somebody, one of the other advisors? Because it was only about $300,000 in the liquid accounts with him. They said, no, they call us once a year for an annual meeting, but we just didn't really, you just fund our SEP IRA and don't feel like there's any need for us to meet, you know. And said, but he's still our personal advisor. I was like, okay. But it was his dad that had money with the advisor originally. But it's a good example why he should be doing Supernova. So I say that.
No kidding.
Right. So I say that to say two things. I may mention to you that he brought his son on. His admin who had been with him for a long time. He actually got her license, so now she's a partner. There's another guy that we go to church with that's a junior partner, and I think he just pays him a salary. I think he doesn't want to be in that. He just wants a salary and kind of 8 to 5 kind of thing, and not have to run a new business, which I would consider doing that someday too, you know, if it was the right person. It can be very profitable if they're good. And then third, his son, who got his degree as a CPA, also came to work for him. And so, and also Rick kind of, and I mentioned to you that I saw him at that gala, the Faith Gaming Gala. We had an interaction. And he had mentioned that he does really well. I don't know if he does $4 million a year or $5 million a year, but he has a lot of people on his team. He's been in the business for a long time. But I think he was at like some Barron's thing or something like that. And he said, there's a guy that I met that was there that's also like you. He's an RIA, you know, but he doesn't have any clients that have more than $5 million with him. And he goes, and there's some wisdom behind that or something like that. But I remember a few years ago when I wasn't completely RIA, when I was independent and I had shown him what we do and how we work with clients, he goes, you know, maybe that would be good for some of my clients. You could do that part and I could manage the money part, you know, kind of thing. So it kind of got my wheels turned a little bit about this to maybe visit with him for two things. One, since his son has come on board to meet his son and also to see if his son might be someone that I would refer business to if it wasn't a sizable account, right? And what their minimum would be for me to refer business to them. But also if it would make sense for them to introduce me to some of their clients for this to be their client's personal CFO, right? So I don't know what your thoughts are about that. I kind of have mixed emotions. One is that kind of limits me and puts me in a box as to how much I can earn and earning potential. And that's why I wasn't so excited about it before. And then two, down the road, there's liable to be a conflict of interest where, you know, one of his clients isn't happy with him and they say, well, can't you just manage the money with us? And it's a $10 million account. Yeah, so yeah. That's kind of my hesitancy.
Yeah. I think it's not a road that I'd travel.
All right. Well, I wanted to get your input on that. Yeah. I have kind of mixed feelings about it, but that's the biggest thing is that, yeah. Ultimately, your life will be in conflict. Okay. I think that's everything I had on my agenda for today. Anything on your agenda today?
No, that's great. We used our time, and I think we used it productively.
Me too. Yeah. All right.
I appreciate it, and thanks. Thanks for being as good as you are. It helps. It makes me feel good.
All right. Well, happy belated birthday.
Thank you very much. See you.
Welcome to the 6 Bits Club. All right. See you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.